Well, as like when Barb was attacked by a hawk, I don't know what the hawk is carrying. I don't know. She was separated from the flock, for one, to heal, but for two, I wanted to make sure that she didn't contract anything from the hawk.
Absolutely.
Hey, y'all, just a quick note. At the end of the episode, we did have a small glitch, so it cut out some of the questions that we had asked our guest, and it kind of seems like it ended very abruptly, but our conversation did not. And I know that you will find value in this episode, even without all the questions towards the end. Thanks, y'all. Bye now.
Hey, y'all. I'm Mel, and you are listening to Wilma the Wonder Hen. Are you a chicken mouth loving mama or daddy? Together, we'll dive into the latest poultry keeping adventures, chat about everyday life, with a generous mix of some hilarious stories. Bringing you fascinating interviews with poultry owners from all over. You'll find tips and basic advice from your local veterinarian, along with new chicken keeping gadgets and reviews. I'm going to see what Mr. Jangles and Wilma has to say about that. We're going to encourage and help you build a stronger, healthier flock. Let's go see what Mr. Jangles and Wilma is up to. Let's go let these heifers out. Hey, y'all, welcome back. On today's episode, we have the sweetest lady in the whole world. Her name is Samantha. She is the mother of four. She has been labeled the crazy chicken lady. Hey, Samantha, how are you?
Good, how are you?
How's it going out there? We've had a lot of awful storms.
We have. It's been beautiful today. We're expecting more storms tomorrow, though. But I'm enjoying the pretend spring. We still have some cold weather coming, I'm sure, so.
Yeah, it's supposed to turn into the 30s overnight or something. I'm going to have to drag all those plants I just seeded out on my porch back in the house, every one of them.
That is my life these days. I spend hours taking them outside and hours bringing them back inside. So. Exactly.
Well, we first off want to say we are so grateful and so honored that you graciously allowed us to have you on our podcast.
Oh, thank you. We're honored to be invited. Love your channel, of course, Wilma. And I have to stay on the good side, you know, Little Miss Pumpkin too. So
y'all are so sweet. Y'all just really melt my heart. You really do. Could you give our listeners who do not know you a little backstory of how all of this adventure of the crazy chicken lady started? We all have a story.
We do. Well, we first got chickens, it's been about 10 years ago. My husband, you know, at that time, the boys were little. They, you know, Luke wasn't even born. Yeah, he was a year old when we got them. And we said, you know what, let's be more self-sufficient because, you know, at that time, you've got to look at the big picture. Well, an easy way is chickens. I mean, they're there, you know. And so we started with those. And the Davis, he was who's in 4-H, but he raised chickens for 4-H. And so we got all of that. And we loved them. And they were so sweet. Sadly, we did lose that flock to an attack one afternoon when we were gone. And so we took a break. And about a two-year break. So when the pandemic hit and we all got locked down, and within this, you know, two-year span, the kids are always asking for more chickens because they loved the chickens. And we were just like, well, you know, we're traveling, we're doing this. It was kind of nice to just be able to pick up and go without having to worry about, oh, gosh, who's going to feed the chickens? Who's going to let the chickens out? And so we finally said, okay, you know what? We're locked in. We are locked at home for who knows how long. And at that time, you know, the grocery store shelves were empty. And it was a hassle. And we live in a very rural area. So I don't know if our shelves were more empty. It was terrible. And so we finally, me and the boys, convinced my husband to, let's get more chickens. It's going to come, yes, you know, that was the deal. We'll do it all. You know, we'll get more chickens because he was the main caretaker of our original flock because the boys were so little. He was the one that did it.
Oh.
And so, yeah, he was the main everything. And so with these, was like, you know, we'll do it. The boys are big enough. We'll do it. And so we did. We ordered 15 little chickens. We've had 30 in the past, and I thought 15's a good number. 15 hens. We ended up with two roosters.
Yeah.
Sherman's no longer with us, but we do still have Tina.
Oh, I love Tina. I love Tina. Tina is the coolest rooster. Tina is a Rhode Island Red, right?
He is. He's a Rhode Island Red. And, you know, he kept his name. Think Napoleon Dynamite. We have a LaFonda as well. She's a Rhode Island Red too.
I love it.
But he, you know, he started out as Tiny and then it went to Tiny Tina. And it's like, oh, well, it's just Tina. Well, you know, I kept telling my husband, he's a rooster. No, he's not. Give him time. I'm like, no, he's a rooster. Sure enough, he's a rooster. But we tried. We tried to change his name, but it just went back to Tina. And I was worried because you hear so much bad things about Rhode Island Red.
Yes.
Aggression. I mean, across the board, not just roosters. The hens have a reputation as well. We're very blessed. We have two. Our hens are the sweetest, sweetest little girls. They're, you know, not at the top of the pecking order. They're keep to themselves. They're kind of in the middle. And Tina is just, we've worked with him. He's had to have some work and some love and some hugs, but he just has the best, you know, personality. He grumbles and he'll sidestep, you know, their usual, but he's never, you know. So, yeah, we love Tina.
The episodes where I discuss how I started my chickens back when I was little, and that's how I was so scared of roosters. I didn't want any roosters when I started this. And my aunt had a gigantic Rhode Island rooster, and his name was Red. And his sole purpose in life was to chase us until we cried.
Oh, I could see that. It amazes me. He just seems, his intelligence is just crazy to me. He knows his name. He knows when he's in trouble. He knows, you know, and it's so funny. I was worried. The reason I think I was worried so much about a rooster is we had hens. Growing up, we actually did, you know, my parents would do back in those days. It was more meat chickens type stuff. But with our first flock, we had some Cochin Bantams, and we had a little Bantam Cochin rooster, and it did not like Davis. And that little sucker would get him, you know, all the time. It was so mean. And so now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we've now got a full size rooster. This is going to be terrible. But you know, honestly, even Sherman was like the best rooster. Just docile. We very lucky in the rooster situation.
I do love my roosters too. So I think they get a bad rap. I don't think they're all, even like saying all Rhode Island Red roosters, we're not saying that by any means that they're all like that, but they do have a bad reputation for being overly aggressive.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you a little bit, going back to your first flock, could you tell us what happened there with your flock?
We had battled. They were completely free range. They were 100% free range. That was our intention, you know, is to not keep them locked up. And, you know, obviously we did lose some along the way with hawks because they were free range. We really don't know. We had worked our way down, and we didn't have a huge flock at the time because, like I said, we wanted them to be free range. We didn't, you know, want them locked up. We had went out, oddly enough, it was on Halloween one night. We had went out, taken the kids out, got back because they were little, you know, got back before dark, and we found them. So we're not sure what got them, but it was before dark. So it was a lot to, you know, when you lose all of, it's hard when you lose one, you know, and it's more so, you know, right now we're on hawk duty, as you saw the.
Yes, I did see that. They have a ginormous hawk over at their property.
Yeah, and we have our chicken defense unit.
Yes, you do.
But it was hard. We had some really sweet hens, and that's why, you know, some of our, the ones that when we got these, the new guys here was a buff. I mean, Davis absolutely loves the Beth Orpingtons, and now it's Lavender now that he's seen Wilma. So
every flock needs a Wilma. Every flock needs a Lavender Orpington. They are so sassy, though. So mine is, anyways.
Well, he got his fix. His Beth Orpington, one of his, is the sassiest. She's now pretending she's Broody, but she's not actually guarding eggs, Broody. She She's got that broody stance, and she grumbles right now when you get near her. She was laying in the coop floor.
Oh, goodness.
And she knows where there was nobody in the nesting boxes. And I told Davis, I was like, watch this, you know. And we walk in, and she starts, you know, flinging out her wings and growling.
Yes, I love it.
I know, and it's so funny. Yes.
I love a broody hen. They are so amazing.
They are.
Those hormones just change them into a completely different creature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for 3 weeks, she's been walking around, you know, like she's Hulk. I mean, you can still pick her up and love her, but she does not want anybody around her. She's doing her own thing. And, you know, first I thought, oh, gosh, she's hurt. You know, we've checked her over from head to toe. No, she's just broody. She tried to sit on eggs. I took them away, you know, and she'd try, and I'd take them away. And she's finally give up, but she's still walking around like she's angry at the world. So aww. She probably at one point is not going to give up so easy because they're still young.
What's the hen's name? What's her name again?
That's a Buffy.
I have a Buffy. Yeah, she's a Buff Orpington.
It's such a wonderful name.
She is. She's a little disabled, though. Her mama, when she was little, her mama stepped on her, so she kind of walks with a limp.
Ours walks with a limp.
Really?
She developed a limp when she was just a little thing, and we could not figure it out, so we dropped. I mean, all their nesting, their perches are dropped. They're dropped to, like, 2 feet off the ground, if that, you know, because we were trying to get her to heal and we brought her in. No, she's still, when she runs, she has that little limp and she's just always had it.
Yeah. I'm going to show you a video after this is over. Sometime today, I'll show you a video. I took of Buffy. Her tail is actually tilts to the right with the way she walks. And it's so sad, but she's so cute though.
I know. My little sugar, you know, our little spoiled.
Yeah.
She's equivalent to your little pumpkin.
Yeah. She's beautiful.
She's got a little crooked tail. I told my husband, I was like, her beak crosses one way and her tail goes the other way. But you know, she's perfect. She's beautiful the way she is. And
what kind of extra care do you give her?
We have to trim her beak. You know, Davis was the one that noticed her cross beak back when she was probably 2 weeks old. He's like, her beak doesn't line up, you know? And I was like, oh, it's probably, it could be anything, you know? But even before that, she was very loving. She wanted to be held all the time. And, you know, and as she's going, we're looking and, you know, realize that she was, I call it cross beak, you know, the term a lot of times is scissor beak, but right. I remember reading and everybody's like, you know, everything you read is cull them. They need to be culled, this and that, you know, they're not going to thrive. And, you know, and I was crying and I'm holding her and my husband every day he's coming in too, because you know, they have a huge brooder. And so their brooder, we moved it out to the coop. So inside their coop was the brooder. And so we would go out there and spend hours with, and he'd come out, what are you doing? Why are you crying over this chicken? And I'm like, because I love her. And, you know, I'm reading these things and it's telling me that she's going to have to go down because she can't thrive and this and that, you know? And so he's like, it's okay. You know? So he starts reading he starts doing his research and reading all these sources. No, look, she's going to be fine. You know, we just got to stay on top of it. And so probably when she was about 4 or 5 weeks old, we started young, filing her beak down. And the only reason we did that, not that it necessarily needed it at that age, but I wanted her to be used to it. I didn't want to just spring it on her one day and a start. And so at that time she was so tiny, so we used just a regular file, you know, we just kind of file it to keep it in check. And I don't, maybe that helped her to not be so severe. I don't know. She's not that severe. So we do file her beak. She's now, we have tried to use no clippers, the dog clippers, you know, a lot of people will use those and it's fast. We cannot with her. She jerks, and my husband's always afraid because I hold. He does the cutting because it takes both of us. And one day we spent probably an hour, and I was like, you know, we're stressing her. Let's stop. Every time he'd get ready to, you know, clip, she'd move. So that was a no-go. So oddly enough, this little hen, she sits in my lap wrapped up, and my husband uses his Dremel tool. Yeah. And you think it would just rattle her little brain, but that's the way we have to use it. I mean, that works for her. We've tried, you know, now that she's bigger, it's faster. So she's not. And normally I can get away with not trimming her beak for 6 weeks easy, but she starts to really struggle. and her health kind of isn't that great because you can see she's not getting enough food. She's not getting her water.
Yeah.
And she's still, you know, she's almost 11 months old, still fights the Dremel. She just does not like her trimmed. And so we've been trying to just nip a little bit off every 2 weeks. So we do that. And when she was a baby, we my husband made, you know, the little dripper waterers. So we have the little dripper waterers. And so we have those for her. And she doesn't use them, but she does have them. She chooses to be like the, you know, the
other ones. I'm going to cry. That is so sweet.
We keep, you know, two big, you know, the rubber water bowls mm-hmm. out, and that's what she goes to. She will not use the dropper. Other ones will. Other ones love the nipple waterer, but she will not. We do. She's a little spoiled. She is hand fed a lot.
No.
With a spoon.
Really? That really shocked me, Samantha.
I know. So she does get that, and I do that just to make sure she gets enough food. Of course, you can't just feed one with a spoon.
Oh, no, that's rude.
It's a party. Yeah. Everybody comes over to eat the food. But so other than that, I mean, some people might see that it's a lot, but, you know, I couldn't imagine her not in our lives. You know, obviously we weren't planning on having a scissor bait when we got the chickens, but she is a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. We do a lot of special things for her. So another thing with Sugar is, with her being a crossbeak, is a lot of times, every day she's given soft food. I moisten her food. The other girls love it. I mean, I have two bowls because I have bards who like to guard the food. So we have two bowls of soft food that we keep out, but we also have the hanging feeder that we put their crumbles or their food in. And she tries. She will go over there and she will spend 30 minutes trying to eat the hard food. So she really prefers the hard food, but she doesn't get the nutrients because she's not really getting a lot. So that was something that we had to learn at a younger age with her. We noticed that she wasn't growing as much. And even though her beak wasn't that bad, she needed the soft food or a deeper, the feeders with the baby chick feeders aren't big enough because she scoops her food. She'll scoop her food into her mouth. Yeah. So that was something we had to learn, you know, when she was very little was, oh, she's not growing right. So then that was the key, was fixing the special waterer. As a baby, she used it all the time because that was, you know, that was her life. That was it. She had to have it because they're waterers, even as babies, you know, they're not deep.
Right. That's to prevent a chick from drowning. So
exactly. And so that's why we did the waterer, the nipple waterer. So nipple waterer, soft food, and a beak trim. And that's all. I mean, she's easy. She's
she's not a problem.
We love her. She's not a problem. No, just bring her in the house and let her lay eggs every once in a while.
How is that not normal? I think that's fine. It's great.
I think that's absolutely normal that she would prefer to lay in a dog crate her eggs.
Yeah, don't come at me. I got a house chicken.
Yeah, you got to cover her crate too. We cover it with
she has
a little
have privacy.
Blanket.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She absolutely, she'll scream. But we brought her in one day. Davis did. And I was busy. I was doing something in the kitchen. And her crate is kind of like in the living room. It's like we don't use the dining room, so it's in there. And he put her in there and she was screaming. And he's like, maybe she doesn't want in there. And I'm going to put her diaper on because she kept running out. And I was like, well, I don't know. She acted like she wanted to come in. You know, she ran in. And he's like, I'm going to put her diaper on you. So her diaper is a face mask. Kid, you know, it works great. So he was trying to put that on her and she was breaking free. Well, so she doesn't want to be held. You know how they'll flap their wings and stuff. That's her way of saying, hey, stop.
Yeah.
So she starts flapping around and he's like, stop. I'm trying to put your diaper on. And she's like, no. And so she gets free. And she goes to her blanket, and she had it laid over a chair, and it's just an old piece of fabric that I've had, and it's just perfect size for covering her crate. And so that's her fabric, I guess. She's claimed it. It's hers. We don't use it. And so she kept going over there, and she was looking at it, and she's circling around. She does this weird little circle thing, and she's looking at it, and she's screaming, and she's walking back. And I told Davis, I was like, I bet she wants her cover on her because I didn't put it on. I was busy, or he, you know, and then he was messing with her, trying to get her to eat. Maybe she's hungry. Maybe she's, because, you know, we keep food in the house for her. We couldn't figure that out. So she covered her up and she stopped and she laid her egg. But she's thriving and she's, you know, she's happy. She's bossy. She thinks she has to come in the house to lay her eggs in her dog crate. She doesn't see well. And so in the winter time, it seems like cold weather. It's almost like it's her depth perception. So she'll see high grass or, you know, I'm sure you guys probably have the wild onions all in your yard. And she'll see those and she just starts walking backwards. The kids say she's like Michael Jackson. She just walks backwards. She moonwalks. So when it's really, really cold, it's the worst. So we bring her in on really cold nights. And she's just an odd little bird. She won't potty in her crate. She keeps it very clean and makeshift perch outside of the crate in the workout room. Nope. She will not use the bathroom in the house. So like a dog, take her out numerous times at night to go potty when she's in the house. And she goes every time. It is the craziest thing. I sit her down. She stands there. She goes. We come back in. And so after we did this, when we had really cold temperatures and there for a while, and she was staying in the house and she was laying her little eggs in the house. So, well, now she's fine. And since then, she refuses to lay her eggs coop. I will look out because they only get free time 3 hours a day when we're out there with them. And so they have their big run, you know, it's huge for them, for the amount we have. And I'll look out and I'll see her pacing at the door. She's just like pacing back and forth, pacing back and forth. And you can go out there and open the run door. She runs out and she will run straight as fast as her little leg. She doesn't walk backwards during that time, but she run straight as fast as she can to the back door. That's her way in, and she'll, you know, just walk through the kitchen and to her crate.
They are such creatures of habit.
And she'll stay there until she lays her egg and she's ready to go back out. They really are. Our Barb, who we've been nursing back, you know, she's from her hawk attack. She's today was the first day she actually laid her egg in the coop since then. I've had her back in with the others, except during free time. You know, because roosters are roosters, let's be honest. And I didn't want to stress her with, you know, Tina. So she would go in her little medic ward, or Barbie's dream house, as we call it, during free time. So she would have their grass and all of that, you know, while they're out running. But today was the first day. Normally she was like sugar. She was pacing back and forth, and we'd go get her and put her in her little house, and she would lay her egg, and then she was ready to go back with her sisters. So they are very much creatures of habit. It's
very entertaining, and you do put in so much effort for your babies. Do you feel like you did that with the previous flock, or do you feel like something since you had lost all of them, do you feel like you, not guilt, because obviously that can happen to any of us. I free range my chickens. We're building a larger fence, but that's mainly to protect my garden. So there is risk. And since the previous attack on your last flock, do you feel like you give this flock more, you feel more bonded to this flock somehow in a different way?
I think so. I think, you know, when we lost them, it was hard, you know, and the kids, it's a hard loss for kids. I mean, I know that's part of owning any animal. You deal with loss, but when you lose a lot, it's hard. And I think so, you know, I would probably die if something happened to these chickens and knowing it was my fault, you know, because the kids love them so much. I feel that's what, you know, and they love them and they take care of them. You know, anytime they're carrying these guys around, you know, they're dragging them around. They're all, you know, and they know all their personalities. And I think so. We're more bonded just because I feel that I need to protect them because I know, and I know there's hawks here and we have coyotes here and we have that, you know, there's been a coyote that's come through here a few times and that's the only reason, you know, I said, you know, one day I would love to know that they could be out, you know, by themselves. Right. But right now they can't. Ultimately, I would like to build them a bigger spot. Right now, you know, they're in a covered run. And it's, like I said, it's a pretty good size. It's a 12 by 30. What is it? 12 by 32, I believe, is what we ended up with. So they don't even use half of it. I mean, you know, they're, you know how chickens are. They're always together. So it's very rare that you see them spread out by themselves. Even inside the run, they're always in little groups, you know, together. But ultimately, I would like to extend it and just put, you know, the avian netting over top. Just to deter the hawks, and so they could have more space. But they seem content. I hate to say it, with their 3 hours a day, though. I mean, it's funny. Yeah. They're so, like you said, they're creatures of habit. And so some days we're late letting them out. And so, like, okay, well, you know, their 3 hours is going to go later. And it's like they know. And they'll start going in there. They will go in there and run, doors open, and they'll get on their perch and they'll start preening themselves, and they still have so much time left. But it's like, whatever. So we'll still stay out there with them in case, you know, you always have a few that are just like, nah, I'm going to take all I can get. So
that's free. Right.
Mainly the buffs. They love their free time. So
yeah.
But yeah, I think so. I think we're more... definitely more hands-on. Like I said, my husband took care of our other ones most of the time because I was so busy with the kids, you know. And now that they're bigger, they help. And we're just very, very hands-on with them. They're our pets.
Did your husband grow up on a farm? Did he seem like somebody that would be so attentive to chickens?
He did grow up on a farm. He grew up on a dairy farm. His father was a dairy farmer until, I want to say, about, he retired in his 40s, because at that time the dairy farming community was going out of our area, and he retired. But yeah, my husband grew up on a dairy farm, so he knew. His brother, his older brother, always had chickens and goats, and he always raised those. My husband never did. You know, he would help with the farm and stuff, but yeah, his brother always had the goats. And when he passed away, we inherited his goat back years ago. So now I still have children asking me for goats, but that's a lot.
See our last episode with Jody from Little Ski's Dairy. She has the cutest goats I have ever laid my eyes on. So.
Oh, yeah. I love goats. They're great. Goats are great. And they want goats. And my husband's like, no. but they also want pigs. You know, Davis has wanted a pig for years. And he's like, do you know how bad pigs smell? And I'm like, actually, I do, because my grandparents used to raise pigs. But compared to him, he says, I'm a city girl. We grew up in the country, very rural area, you know, but because I didn't grow up on a farm, I'm a city girl, so I don't.
Did you tell him those are fighting
words? I know,
words?
Right?
You don't call a country girl a city girl. That's wrong.
I grew up in a small town just across the way, so, you know, my parents still live over there, but yes, what he always says. He's like, you just don't know. I'm like, no, I know.
So when you lost your first flock and you now have your new flock, did you make any changes in the coop? What did it look like there?
We didn't. We actually used the same coop. My husband was the one that built it, and it was originally built to hold our 30 chickens. So we have, obviously the girls are like in this huge coop, but we did not change anything on the coop. We left it the same. Therefore, when we weren't using it, oddly enough, it turned into a storage area. And so I had all of, because we homeschool, and so I have boxes of curriculum and just, you know, stuff like that. And so all of this was moved in there. And there for a while, we were dog sitting our daughter's dog for like a year. The dog lived with us because she was kind of floating around, you know, being a young person.
Yes.
In her early 20s. And so we had her dog. So that was her dog's bed at night. He was an outside dog. She was an outside dog. So she would be outside during the day. And then at night, just because of the wild animals, you know, the coyotes, that I didn't feel safe leaving her out. So that was her house.
Oh,
and
wow.
So when we decided to get the chickens, it's like, well, geez, what are we going to do? So we did have to clean it out and built a run, obviously, because we never had a run before because we were free range. Right. So we did build the run and, you know, added the new perch because the old perch, we had taken it out long before, you know, and it just kind of, it's just wood. So, you know, it rotted. So we added perches and, you know, got them new nesting boxes. So, but that's it, just the nesting boxes and the perches, and everything else is the same.
And you added the run on, right?
And we added the run on. Yes, my husband was on the verge of killing me on that one because trying to cover it.
You are not the only one, sister. I have heard some stories through couples building coops and runs together. Mm-hmm. It is like a make or break.
Yeah, I mean, luckily he is so laid back. So he, I mean, anybody else probably would have wanted to choke me because now I'm saying I want to put a metal roof over it.
Mm-hmm, and we just we have
chicken wire over it, over the run. And so when it rains, it gets wet and it's a muddy mess. And so now I'm like, and that was hard to put, you know, the chicken wire over that with it being, so that was not fun. So now I'm like, nah, let's scratch that. Let's put, you know, the tin on it, which is our plans because, you know, chicken math's real and we're adding more chickens. Yes, our main coop has more room, but I need a grow out pen because we never added more with our original, you know, that was it. So that's our next project. We have 10, which started out as 6, and I just kind of kept adding chickens. So we're now at 10. That's my stopping point, 10. We have 10 new chicks coming in May for our anniversary.
What kind did you get?
I got, oddly enough, my favorite hens are our Dominics.
Yes.
I will sing their praises. I love them. Oddly enough, I did not get any, which my husband keeps reminding me. They're your babies. You have 3 of them and you love them and you didn't get any. I was like, I got 3. I can't replace them. But so we did get some different ones. We got, the boys wanted an Easter egger. Mm-hmm. We did have Easter eggers in our original flock. So we are getting a Favreau in there. So it's just a mix and a match. Usually I'm kind of hung up. I'm like, oh, I got to have 3 of each breed. I don't know. I'm just weird that way. I'm like, but what if something happens? And then they'll have, somebody else in the flock. They're, you know, they don't hang out with their same breeds anyway. So it's really pointless.
No, they really don't.
They really, you think they would.
I've seen this comment so many times that they hang out with color types that of their own. And I've heard this on TikTok and people making these videos. Yeah, no.
Mine are weird, I guess.
Mine hang out in clicks, but it's definitely not based on any color at all.
No, I think it's their bossiness. No.
some weird. I think they hang out with the ones that they can dominate. Mm-hmm. The pecking order is quite brutal.
Mm-hmm. It can be. We got some different ones. I did get three. There's 3 that are going to be mystery chicks. So,
oh, how exciting.
Some mix. One, it was out of a rare breed mix. So Davis has his finger crossed that he's going to get a lavender in this mix. So hopefully he will. We did get a cream leg bar as well. You know, it's hard to pass up the little bouffants if she's got one.
Yes.
But so we did get those. And then 2 bantams. I'm nervous with bantams because I know my luck with roosters.
The bantam roosters I have, like Little Dude and Little Joe, they're the type of breed that they are. Most people's interaction with them is that they just chase them all over the yard, flogging them. I don't know. I just pick mine right up. They're not mean at all, but bantams are awesome.
They are. We got a silky bantam coming. Davis's bantam, our very, very, very first loss was Davis's. It was a blue silky. And his name was Twitchy. He was a little rooster. And so Davis has always wanted another one. Well, I couldn't get a blue one. So a black one. He's kind of a little black silky coming out. Boy or girl, who knows? It will probably be a while before we know.
Probably.
And then we got a mill floor coming.
Yes. Those are cute.
So, yeah. But, yeah. He wants some little Joes. And he wants some little dudes. Couldn't find any. So maybe next year.
I've got plenty. I got plenty for that boy.
Davis said one day, he says, we were going out Ashway, which you guys aren't very far from us anyway. No. You're actually closer going the other way, you know, because my husband's like, they're just right. They're our neighbor. And so we were going out one day, and Davis is like, we should just go by and see Wilma. I just need to see those chickens. I was like, okay, Davis, we'll just, I'll just call, you know, I'll message her and say, hey, where's your address? We're gonna just, you know, drop by and hug your chickens for a minute.
Oh, I think that's
I'm like, oh my goodness. But yeah, he absolutely, I said, yeah, maybe next year we can get, you know, an ad to it. Because yeah, Bantams are great. They are. I just get nervous because I know my luck and having all boys. Our other two were boys, you know, our coaching and our Silky, you know, both ended up being roosters, but they are sweet.
At one time I had 15 little Joes.
Oh my goodness.
15 had hatched in a year.
Yeah.
The hens love to sit. That's all. They sit all year long. 15 of them were roosters. So they all went to homes but three. And I kept
I don't
them.
See how you found them homes. I can't ever find anybody to want a rooster. Everybody hates roosters. I'm like, I promise they're not bad.
I think it's because they were just the type of breed they were. They found it very fascinating. But
they are cute. They are so tiny. Miss Pumpkin's a sweetheart. We just love watching her.
Miss Pumpkin is such a sweetie, and I don't know how I'm going to transition her back outside.
I don't think you're going to.
She's been in my house, I think, since she was 6 weeks old, and she's now 20 weeks old. So,
how did she end up in the house?
It's the weirdest story. Mama Mary hatched out some babies in winter, and when I went to check on the Bantams, just for something. I don't know. I was just cleaning out stuff. I heard a chirp, which no one had been sitting on eggs. Apparently, there was one egg that some mama hen, which is not a very good mama hen, obviously, because she left the chick. But the chick was in the corner. So I had to take her out. And that later that evening, I waited until Mama Mary, it was dark, and I slipped her under Mama Mary. And Mama Mary acted like she was her own. But she was amongst full-size, standard chickens. So anyways, around 4 or 5 weeks old, the other chickens, the other baby chicks were being very, very bullish to her and had already busted her a little comb and stuff.
Mm.
And it was a snowstorm. So I picked her up out of that maternity ward and I took her inside and she never went out. Never left.
She probably doesn't want to go out. That's probably why when you take her out there, she's like, I'm going to pick fights. My mom will bring me back in and she will love me forever.
She did. She tried to beat that little Cochin Silky rooster's butt.
That is the cutest little guy.
That's Conan. He is so cute, but he's so skittish. He's not mean, but it's weird. His mama is a Silky mix that I have named Loretta, and Loretta is spastic. But anyways, we would like to know if you have any, you know, chick season is coming. Yourself has purchased some chicks. What would be some of your top tips for someone just starting out?
First off, like I mentioned, chicken math is real. Always make it bigger.
Yes.
Or in our situation, maybe an extra coop because, I mean, we're having to build our grow out. But know your breeds, research them. I mean, everybody's got their own input on their favorite breeds. Everybody has a favorite breed. Mine's a Dominic. I mean, but you see so many different breeds and know what you want them for. You know, do you want them for pets? Do you want them just for eggs? That was big for us because, you know, a lot of white egg layers are kind of not as loving for some reason from our experience, you know. And so that was a big thing for us. I mean, my husband's like, you're not getting them for laying eggs. I'm like, but do we really? It's for pets. So, you know, ours aren't always necessarily, the bards are. You know, a bard obviously is a top egg layer, and we do have bards and we have reds, but we have some that we just love, you know, and new going into it. And I think that's it. You know, do you want it for a family, kids? How involved do you want to be? Our brooder, I think that's something very important. We've redone our brooder this year, so we're redoing something different. My husband built our brooder many years ago, and it's huge. It is so big and it's so heavy. And we're actually using it as a shelf now. That's how big it is. Wow. It's a shelf to hold their chicken food and stuff. So they've got like this tiny mansion of a brooder that our chickens have lived in the past. So this time we're doing it different. But I think a brooder is key. You see so many unusual. Not that they don't work, but you see, you know, a lot of people don't understand with brooders, you know, and how important it is in that temperature and
temperature and keep it dry, keep it clean. Yes.
Know what you want them for. Chicken math is real. And, you know, when they're little, I mean, for us as brooders that, you know, we hold them. We want ours to be friendly. So we do hold them throughout their time. So they are friendly. And that's, you know this as well as I do. That's make or break. There's still some that you can hold from the time they were and they want nothing to do with you.
There's some of them I have to snatch them girls right up. And they'll let me pick them up, obviously. But
yeah,
they don't like it. They don't want me to love them. And mm-hmm. they've been here for years and years. And they've seen my face 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they still want nothing to do with me. Kind of like Wilma.
And it's on their terms. Absolutely on their terms. We have one in... From the time she's been little, she looked like a little baby penguin. She was the sweetest, and she still is. It's Gertrude. And you can't, don't try to pick her up. She will jump on your shoulder, and she'll ride on your shoulder. Just don't try to touch her, because.
Yeah, it's on their terms. That's exactly right. Yeah, and snacks.
Oh, and snacks are the key. Oh, yes. Mine's currently mad at me. We're out of mealworms. How dare I? And I've been giving them scratch, and they're like, I don't want this stuff. They look at it like, this is rude.
Now I tried to explain to them at our meeting the other day that they will only be getting like vegetables and fruits now for the summertime. Mm-hmm. And it didn't go over well. But
yeah, we've been out of mealworms for about 3 weeks and it's not went.
I tell them to go forage like their ancestors did.
They don't care. They're like, what? You want us to work for our food? That's crazy.
Yes. Do you have any tips that you could share for keeping a healthy flock? Not just baby chicks, but in general, things that you put into practice that you feel are important to maintaining that strong flock?
First and foremost, for us, I think is biosecurity. That's the top of the list. What we wear out to the store, we do not wear into the chickens. And it just, oddly enough, it just works out that way because I know when I go in the chickens, I'm going to get pooped on or somebody's going to jump on me or I'm going to, you change clothes. With us living near the woods and the woods border us, I mean, there's wild animals. They cross through. There's poop. I mean, there's cross stuff right there, but biosecurity is top of our list. We don't have a lot of people that handle our chickens, you know, and that's the one thing too that I look at. Have you been in with other chickens? Do you have chickens? Have you been in with other chickens?
Yes.
Are you wearing the same stuff that you would wear with your chickens with ours? So that, you know, that's a biggie. Even something simple as like when Barb was attacked by a hawk, I don't know what the hawk is carrying. I don't know. She was separated from the flock for one to heal, but for two, I wanted to make sure that she didn't contract anything from the hawk.
Absolutely.
So, you know, she's fine. She's been back in with her sisters for maybe three days or so, you know. But yeah, she was absolutely separated just to make sure for her safety and for theirs, really. So that is first and foremost. We check for mites and lice and, you know, make sure we randomly, I don't check all of them. I will randomly pick up one while we're holding it and we'll just, oh, look, you know, especially the rooster because Tina thinks he's got to stay in guard. So while the girls are dirt bathing during their free time, he's a lot of times just standing there and it's like, you need to dirt bath.
Almost like a man, just get in a bath.
I know, just take a bath.
Take a bath.
But, you know, we do check him a lot. Just he gets, you know, he is a rooster and he doesn't dirt bath a lot, but we do check him for that. And they love their dirt baths. So I think that's key. Right now, their little dirt bath got dirty. Well, got wet, not dirty. Got wet with all this rain. So they're very sad little hens right now. But other than that, we just try to keep everything clean. I go in once a week and do a quick clean. It's not thorough. It's, you know, every other day I'll go in and scoop the poops out of their coop because they're only in their coop for sleeping. That's it. Our girls go in to lay their eggs and to sleep at night and they never step foot. Even in the rain, they're just like soaked. They just don't go in it.
Yeah, mine too.
They just hang out. And so I go in every other day and we'll just under the, you know, the perch, clean that out. I do give it a really good cleaning once a month to where, you know, everything's done. I sprinkle it with a little bit of the first Saturday lime and diatomaceous earth under their pine shavings. And then I put their pine shavings down. And we've, knock on wood, we've never had any trouble with infestations of any kind. We just kind of just keep watch over them. I mean, that's, and no food and water inside.
Yes, no food and water inside. Very good. Yes. Those are all excellent tips. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. Can you tell us where you see yourself going forward in your current flock? What do you envision yourself for the future?
Oh, crazy chicken lady.
A chicken village? I have a chicken village.
Yes. You know, we have the little medic ward now. Yes, and that's awesome. Tina has, bless him, we still haven't finished Tina's house.
Oh, goodness.
So he's got an interesting little getup. He doesn't live there at night. He still sleeps with the girls. But it's his man cave that, you know, during the day to give them a break, he goes in that. But absolutely, we will probably end up with a chicken village since we have the other coop coming up. And I told my husband, I was like, well, but, you know, what if we don't end up using that coop? Well, it'll be empty, but Tina really needs his own. What if we have more roosters? Tina's going to have friends. But yeah, his, I see us growing. Maybe not with more roosters. Maybe one day I'll get brave and we'll hatch our own. I'm just really
if you need paranoid. Any help, you just let me know.
I'm just so nervous about getting roosters. But eventually we've talked about we would like to add ducks.
Yeah.
To them. We have a nice area. We have a pond, and we're actually going to fill that pond in. I worry now. I enjoy the wild ducks that come to the pond. I just love the ducks. Yeah. They are so great. But definitely a little chicken village. What are we going to do with all the eggs? I don't know. We don't sell the eggs. We have quite family. We always give them to family or whatever. You know. Oh, you need eggs. But we like them just because of their pets. It's, you know, the eggs are a bonus.
Yeah. And
they work hard for their eggs.
Yes, they do.
So we appreciate their eggs. It's just, and we can't waste it. And I always feel so guilty when I drop it. I hate to drop an egg. I don't know why. I'm like, oh, they work so hard for that egg.
They do. Those little girls really just get in there and work it.
They really do. So, yeah, I definitely see this grow in our flock. I'll tell my husband not to listen to this podcast. Because he'll be like, what?
No husbands allowed.
Especially when we talk about growing the flock, because that exactly. means more coops, and that means more building.
This is like a chicken lady keeper's secret code.
That's right.
We don't discuss the flock in front of them.
That's right. Tina's got his little house. It's cute. I mean, it's not, I won't say it's cute. It's the boys' swing set. We're taking it apart, and I ultimately want to add to it. And just, you know, make it a home for him. But to keep him out, we do have, it looks very, it's interesting. It's the frame, and I have, you know, shavings in it for him, and he's got a little makeshift perch for during the day.
Yeah.
And we've put the winter plastic around, because being the swing set, it's got the gaps in it. And so that to keep the cold, his actually is really warm compared to even our big coop, because it's such a small area.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks interesting. I said, poor Tina. He has the bachelor pad.
Yeah, I got a couple of bachelor pads. They're holding areas in case, you know, because I do come up with extra roosters throughout the year.
Yeah, we won't leave him in it overnight because it's not safe. Right. I mean, but during the day, he's good.
He's a tough boy.
He is. He's fenced in separate, so he doesn't have a cover. And I know there was a hawk last night, and I was like, my husband's like, what are you doing? I'm like, making sure the hawk doesn't get him. He's like, I don't think the hawk, because he's in his house is in a dog pen, so a dog kennel. So he's got room. Yeah, and he's like, my husband's like, I don't think the hawk would go down and try to grab him out of that. You know, it doesn't have ton. He's got room. He's got as much, you know, he's got enough room to what he needs for him.
Yeah.
But he likes to hang out. I've got him, and it's probably a mistake. He's beside the girls.
Oh.
So his area is right there because he loves watching them.
Yes.
But he's always beside his little perch is beside, so their fence separates them.
Right.
You know, like almost like a grow out. And so he'll sit there and he'll just talk to his girls all day, you know, and they'll come over and it's like they're having a conversation. So I was like, yeah, true. A hawk would have to get down and wedge between his house and he's probably good. But, and he is a rooster and he's big. He's, he's big. So he's a scaredy cat, but he's big. He's,
he is handsome though. He really is a handsome dude.
He is.
Do you have any educational sources or materials that you could recommend that you feel confident in sharing?
We use a lot of, and I know I've heard it on your show many a times, but it's just when she's good, she's good. We use a lot of the Chicken Chicks stuff. I do refer. We have her book, and we do use it in her website. We also use our extension office. So it's a very good resource. We recently took a class, and I had the boys sit in on it. It was for a backyard poultry medicine class.
Awesome. I love to hear this.
It was great. You know, they did talk a lot about finding a vet, which is kind of a downside because being in a rural area, when Barb got attacked, my husband's like, you know, if something turns, we need to find her a vet. And I'm like, we're at a loss of...
Yeah.
It's hard to find. I mean, the vet that we use does not take avian. And I've looked around at other ones in our area, and it's hard to find. It really is. You know, you basically have to, I guess, learn. You do a lot of it.
We were just discussing this, and that through this podcast, and I'll keep repeating this, it is hard. I'm not, they are out there. Like, I have one, but she's about 45 minutes away. That will see my chickens, but I have a regular veterinarian that I've used for 10, 15 years. Okay, she doesn't see chickens. She's not ugly about it. She just doesn't, it's just not her thing. So, yes. So, continue on. I'm so sorry.
No, we looked from one, and I think the closest avian that I found was in Knoxville to us. Is that the one you use?
No, well, actually, the one I use is in Greenville, which is about 45 minutes from me, but the next one would be Knoxville.
Yeah, Knoxville's our closest that I could find. I need to start keep digging but that's still a long trek if you have an injured chicken.
So like you were saying, it is now on us to learn as much as we can through these resources.
Right. You know, and the extension office is great. I mean, they have even to go, you know, every state has an extension office. You can go on there and search, and they even have tips for caring for your chickens. They have a lot of information that I honestly never knew they had. I know with 4-H, they raised the chickens, in which we did, but I never knew that they had all of that database until I started researching it. And then with the shutdowns, you have more classes on, you know, online, a lot with the extension. And so this class that I took wasn't through our county. It was through another county in North Carolina. But it was pretty helpful, you know, because there's so much misinformation out there. For example, like with sugar. Scissor bait, kill it. No.
Yeah.
So I don't want to kill it.
But mind-blowing.
There is a lot of misinformation. You kind of got to really check. It's hard. It's hard because some people will swear on it, you know, and
some of it
right
is generational. Some of
it's very generational. Yeah.
Especially for, I know, like you, when I say us, I'm speaking of you too, because we are so rural and within the same radius. And generational, there are some very crazy, crazy ideas.
Yeah. And you think about it, in those days, chickens were for eggs. They weren't
and
pets,
meat.
And they were treated different. Right. And
so
meat.
That's fine. I mean, if you raise your chickens for eggs and meat, we are not saying that's bad. We're saying that's great with sustainability. But if you're taking your chickens on as pets, as a lot of us have, and sometimes we have both, you know, we want the best care that we can to give them is what we're saying. We're not saying anything in a negative way or derogatory.
No, we've even debated raising meat chickens.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if I could do it. I'm the weak link in the whole process.
You're the weak link, Samantha.
I am the weak link.
With you.
My husband's like, I can't do it all. I'm like, are you sure? Because that would be great.
That would be great.
I'll feed them and move them. You just do everything else. But this comes from a man who goes hunting and he lets the deer walk. So it probably wouldn't go well. We would end up with, we'd end up in a mess. But it is different. I mean, my in-laws and my mother both, they think I'm absolutely crazy. You're making chicken dresses? They really think the saddles are dresses. Oh, why aren't you making dresses for your chickens? They're not dresses. But, you know, or even with the roosters, you know, or this or that. Oh, they looked at it as, you know, and it's generational. If they're not doing what they need to do,
right,
they have a job to do. Right. So this is our livelihood. This is.
I understand that too.
You need to do. Exactly. Right. You got to do what you got to do. And I'm like, what? No.
But we also have a new breed of people who are actually have fallen in love with chickens.
I know. And they're so different. Their personalities. They're amazing. All different.
I do want to brag on Samantha because I will tell you that my hens, Mr. Jangles, has at least 3 or 4 girls out of 33 that are his favorites. And we needed some hen saddles. And I attempted last year to make some. I don't have a sewing machine. I do have a sewing machine somewhere. I think it's in the attic, but I don't know how to use it. So I tried to hand sew them. And I did purchase a pattern off of Etsy. Oh, no. It went really, really wrong. So Miss Samantha makes them, and these are so good. The material is so thick, and these actually have the wing protectors, I guess they're called. And they are amazing. I don't know. I believe she sells to the public because I just ordered some more. So I really hope she does.
We're getting there. We're getting there, yes. I'm such a perfectionist. And also, I'm like, no. My husband's like, they're great. And I'm like, but anytime you do something, you're always going to nitpick yourself.
Yeah.
It's just,
I see things.
I mean, it's just a given. No matter what you do, you're always going to find something. It took me a while. My poor girls we had tried so many different things. And I actually got a couple of different patterns that I'd found and kind of meshed them together to get what I wanted. Because I knew what I wanted. I just couldn't figure it out. So it's like we put, you know, I did some and they were too thin and they wouldn't hold their shape.
Yeah,
and
these are nice.
And that would drive me nuts. I'm like, no, I don't want it moving around on them, you know. And the elastic even.
Yeah.
My buffs were terrible. They were biting the elastic. I originally went with the thinner elastic and they were like, I don't want these on me. And they were biting. I would go in and I'd find the saddles on the ground. And I'm like, girls, because the way that I have to do it.
Putting them on,
elastic, I would have to unsew the whole thing to put the elastic on. And I'm like, girls, really? So I would have to go and make another one. And I'm like, ugh. So we finally figured out, except for Squeaky, she still puts her dress over her head. Not very ladylike, but, you know, we don't know how she does it, but she does it. Well, thank you.
And do you sell them to the public? So can our listeners get a hold of you through your Instagram and make a purchase?
Yes, they can. We'll work on getting a link together and, you know, a website. I'm not sure what direction I'm going to do the website.
But we'll link our listeners to your Instagram account and they can contact you there. Can you tell us a little bit about your chickens' names and where that came from? Because they're kind of unique. And they make me laugh.
Honestly, their names are based on their personality. I mean, just to let you know, I'm not Peg. Peg's, she's our red. She's our Rhode Island red. She's our tiny Rhode Island red. And she was a sickly little chick, so we had to give her extra love. And I just automatically thought of Peg at Bundy.
Yeah.
From Married with Children, remember? Yes. Now Peg's name fits her.
Yeah.
She's just the size, and she's so tiny too. Yeah. But she's still tiny, and she just that was her name. And then we have Tina and LaFonda, because who doesn't love Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh yes, that's so true.
So with those, and but we just kind of pick stuff out. We have Gertrude and Dolly. We thought Dolly Parton, why not? So yeah. Dolly, she's our Sapphire Gem, her and Darth, which is weird. Darth is a girl. Darth got her name because she's a sapphire, but you know, their colors are also different
because
of their hybrid.
Yeah.
And so she was more black as a baby. And so we thought Darth Vader. She's on the dark side. So she got, and then the name has just stuck. She's
so cute.
So we just had fun with their names. You know, I said, oh, but now we got to name 10 more. But we've just had fun with their names.
Yeah, so much work to name all those chickens.
And Squeaky. I know, and Squeaky, bless her. Her name, when she was a baby, she's our other buff, Warpington. And when she was a baby, she would make the awfulest noise ever. It was this loud. I've got videos of her, and she did not. She's not a friendly Buff Warpington. She doesn't love the love. Even as a baby, we would have to chase her around the brooder. She'd be like, don't touch me. But she would make these, you would get near her and she would make these awful squeaking sounds. That was just, it would kill your ears. And if you were in the coop and she didn't want you in there, because after we take them out of the brooder, we left, you know, leave them in the coop to get to know their home for, you know, a couple of weeks. And you would go in there and she would just scream. At bedtime, she would scream. She didn't want you in there. And it was this squeak. And it's like, yeah, Squeaky's it. Squeaky's her name. Aww. She doesn't squeak anymore, but she Sweet. Still has the name Squeaky. Yeah. And we have our Bars or Barbara, which we call her Barb. She's good. I said, Barbara just suits her. She's very bossy.
Yeah.
And I think of sometimes a Barbara is very bossy. No offense to any Barbaras.
Yeah, we love all Barbaras. So don't we come do. At us. Don't come
but
at
her
us.
Name just suits her. She's just, you know, and it's so funny because, you know, we're like, Barb, Barbara, what are you doing? And she'll just look at you like, get away from me. But no, she's a sweetheart. And then Goose, she's the other one with the weird name though, Squeaky and Goose. Goose is our bard and she's our head hen. She is the top of everything. But she made this awful noise as a baby. They made some weird noises.
Yes, they do.
And she sounded like a goose. She just absolutely. And the kids are like, her name's Goose. We're going to call her Goose. Because our bard rocks, I'm not kidding. They all looked alike as babies. We have three. And so they're identical as babies. But, you know, that's the crazy thing. Like I said, chickens as pets, they all have personalities. And so being around them, you know who is who just by going up. And Rose is our other bard. And she got her name because she's so sweet to look at. But she will bite you in a second. So I said, she's kind of like a rose. They're pretty, but yeah, they kind of hurt. And her name is just, you know, stuck with her. But yeah, we have very interesting chicken names for sure.
Well, we love it. What do you feel is lacking in our community, in our chicken community? What could each of us do to help each other?
I have to say, the chicken community is amazing. This was not here when we had our original, and it could have been here. I mean, it could have been. I mean, I haven't been on Instagram. I don't even know how long Instagram's been around. I haven't been on it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I know that. Yeah. And my phone wasn't even capable of actually mm-hmm. probably
looking. Mm-hmm. Me either, honey.
So I'm kind of behind. I use the phone till it dies. But the chicken community is amazing. Everyone is so helpful. I've reached out to you and I've reached out to many others for advice and help and just say, well, what about this, you know, or that? Because it's great. You know, with the lack of resources that we have for the chickens, it's nice to know that everyone is willing to help everyone when it comes. So I don't know, as far as that, and it's already great. Just keep being great. It really is. It's blown my mind. This past year, you know, just with this flock that we've added, I've just, like I said, I've just been blown away with the friendliness and the outreach and the help that's always there. So we're a unique group and we're
people are pretty awesome in this group. I like to brag on them quite frequently and I'm glad that you said that. Yes, don't mess with us. We are unique and we're kind of crazy. So, just a little bit.
That's it, y'all. Thanks for listening. If you found value in this episode, we would appreciate it if you would share this with a friend and leave us a review. Till next time, bye-bye, y'all.
I'm Mel, and you are listening to Wilma the Wonder Hen.